Father, now we prepare our hearts to hear from you, to study your word, to be challenged. And I pray that you would challenge us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those men here this morning who are called dad. Bless them, Lord. Encourage them this morning. May they come to a new understanding this morning of how desperately they are needed. In Jesus' name, amen. It's estimated that the average child asks 500,000 questions by the age of 15. That's a lot of questions to field. And I actually think they ask most of those questions when they're around 6. Because I have a son that age and he's so inquisitive. Lots of questions. And dads, I know that coming home after a hard day at work, it may be hard and difficult to field some of those questions. You might even get a little bothered or annoyed by it at times. But this morning I want to invite you to see that as a tremendous privilege. If that statistic is true, then we basically have unlimited opportunities to share something about God and the meaning of life with our children. And I want to encourage the dads this morning to be the best dads that you can possibly be and to take that responsibility so seriously and to take advantage of all the opportunities, all the questions. There are many passages in the scripture that tell fathers how to be good fathers. And we could take time this morning on Father's Day to remind ourselves of what the scripture says. We could study the principle found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, that says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Or we could study that principle that you find in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Or we could study that classic passage in Deuteronomy that says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." We could look at all those principles again this morning, and that would be a fruitful study. But sometimes it's best to study the life of somebody who has successfully fulfilled those obligations as a dad. Sometimes it's more effective to point to someone who has been a successful father and say, "Do that. Follow that example." And that's what I want to do this morning with Noah. That Old Testament saint Noah. And let's call him Father Noah today. I'll bet you've never thought of Noah as being a good father, but he was. He was an amazing father. And we need to learn from him. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith. It contains the men and women of the Old Testament who were known for their faith. Extraordinary examples of faith. And Noah, Father Noah, is in the list. Look what it says of him in verse 7. Of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Noah had a household. Noah had three sons, and let me tell you this morning, Noah's sons were exceedingly blessed to have Noah as their dad. Noah had three daughters-in-law. And let me tell you, Noah's daughters-in-law were exceedingly blessed to have Noah as their father-in-law. Noah had a wife, And let me tell you, Noah's wife was exceedingly blessed to have Noah as her husband. And that's because Noah was a man of God who stood up for God in a very dark period of time. If you remember the story of Noah, you remember that Noah and his family lived in a society that had become a cesspool. The days of Noah are referred to as days of exceedingly great wickedness in society. The society was filled with sin, blatant sin, rebellion, idolatry, materialism, wickedness, evil, run amok. Everyone had turned their back on the Lord in the days of Noah. In fact, society was so bad in the days of Noah that Genesis chapter 6 tells us some really strange things began happening in that society. It seems that there was demonic activity with the people in society, and the demonic activity was mixed with sexual perversion. There was a mix of the occult and sex. There was all kinds of sexual immorality, all kinds of weird things going on, all kinds of horrible things taking place in the days of Noah. It's a dark time to be a dad. Dark time to be a husband. It says in Genesis chapter 6 that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth. Understand, the days of Noah were dark. It says that every intent of the thoughts of man was only evil continually. It was so bad in the days of Noah that the Lord was actually sorry that he had created mankind. Imagine that. And it was so bad in the days of Noah that God had decided to send a flood to start over, to wipe mankind off the face of the earth that had gotten so wicked. The days of Noah were so bad that there was only one man on the face of the planet who feared God. One man, and his name was Noah. Father Noah. It says in Genesis chapter 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. It was so bad that Noah was the only man on the face of the planet who walked with God. You imagine being a dad or a husband in a society like that. I say it again. Noah's family was exceedingly blessed to be able to call that man dad. Husband. Noah would be the shelter for his family. It would be through Noah, that dad, that husband, that the lives of his family were literally saved, spared, protected. Jesus gave a prophecy in Matthew chapter 24. He made a prediction, and it's chilling, and I want you to hear it loud and clear this morning, dads. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's a chilling prediction. Jesus said that before he comes again, society will get as bad as it was in the days of Noah. And my brothers in Christ, my fellow fathers, As I look around society, I see it getting pretty bad. Society has become dangerous for children. Do you understand that, dads? Society has become a live and die situation for kids. Society today is filled with rebellion, sexual immorality, materialism, idolatry, sin, blatant sin. And let me tell you, if you don't know it yet, there is an all-out war for the souls of your kids. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." That describes our society. And I know we might be a little bit sheltered here because we're Christians and we get together in church a lot, but out in society, it's a train wreck. It's a disaster out there. Dads, your children desperately need you to be a man of God. Husbands, listen carefully to me. Your wives desperately need you to be a man of God. You must be a shelter for your family. In our society today, in an estimated 20 teens attempt to end their lives every 30 minutes. Approximately 685 teens become drug users every 30 minutes. Some 23 teenage girls have abortions every 30 minutes. More than 3 million American teenagers have been treated for alcoholism since 1980. 9,000 teenagers are killed each year while driving drunk. And the public school systems aren't helping us parents, are they? I mean, there are exceptions, and I praise God for the exceptions, but many public school systems are breeding grounds for violence, drug abuse, sex, anti-God, rebellion, all of that influence. It's all over the public school system. I read recently that the American Atheist Society recently had a champagne dinner celebrating 25 years of prayerless schools. Imagine that, a bunch of people around the table. Cheers, there's no more prayer in school. This is what we're up against. Gary Bauer tells the shocking yet true story of a teacher who 25 years ago used to walk into her fourth grade class and greet them, "Good morning, children," to which they would respond, "Good morning, Miss Jones." She left teaching for many years to have her own family and raise them. She returned recently to the classroom and began the day in her usual way, "Good morning, children," to which a young thug on the front row responded, "Shut up, witch," with a B. That is the erosion of generations. Dad, if your youngster isn't alert, he or she will get swept up into it. Drugs. Drug abuse. Of the 17 million high school students in America, over 2 million use dope in some form. A survey shows that 20 to 30% of all students have experimented with drugs, and one-fourth of these say that they take dope on a regular basis. Half of the high school students in many affluent suburbs have used marijuana. Hundreds of students have died on bad trips of LSD or other hard drugs. The minds and bodies of thousands are warped and marred by drugs. At a hippie party in a western city, a young college student under the influence of LSD grabbed a live kitten and ate it raw. Sex among our kids, children. Josh McDowell says, since the popular push for contraceptives for teens began, teenage sexual activity and pregnancy have increased 400%. 70% of unwed teen mothers will go on welfare. Of teens who marry because of pregnancy, 60% will be divorced in 5 years. And we have kids in this country who are growing up and they've never even heard of Jesus. It's an all-out war. Your family desperately needs you to be a man of God. Calling all fathers, help. Get involved. Be that man that you're supposed to be. The stakes are too high. This last week, I got called in for jury duty. I did my duty as an American citizen. And I get called in for jury duty every year, it seems like. My name always comes out, but they never pick me to be a part of the jury. You see, I'm a pastor. Why would they want a pastor on a jury? But I actually got selected this last week. Out of 135 people, I was one of 12 who were selected to be a part of this jury duty. It was a criminal trial. It is over now, so I can sort of speak of it, and I want you to know that that case broke my heart. It involved 7 or 8 teenagers when the event took place, and they were all a little older now, in their early 20s. It seems that these 7 teenagers had somehow convinced some ignorant adult to rent a hotel room for them, where they could have a kickback, a party. Those kids got in the room and most all of them drank beer, liquor, and smoked pot till they passed out. During the evening, one of the young ladies alleged that she had been raped. And the case was to decide whether or not that person was guilty or not. And I sat there and I looked at these young men and women testifying before me. And I thought, this isn't right. These are kids and they're talking about sex, rape, drug abuse. And I looked into many of their eyes and they were black holes where there should have been innocence, life, childhood. Love. And I thought, where were these kids' dads? Where were they? We live in a society where it's never before been easier for a young person to destroy their life. Men, dads, fathers, would you say with me this morning, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to stand up. How can we be good fathers in today's society? Well, what kind of a father was Noah? Let me tell you this, first of all. Noah was definitely a man who knew the truth about God and stood up for God and his truths. Noah was a man who had a personal knowledge of the Lord. He didn't just know about God, he knew God. He had a relationship with the Lord. It says in Genesis chapter 6 that he walked with God. That implies relationship. Noah was also a man who lived in the fear of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He was a man who was moved with godly fear. That is, he respected God. He had a reverence for the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. And he wanted to please the Lord. He He was a man who feared the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He wanted to live his life pleasing the Lord, knowing that he was in fact accountable to the Lord. So Noah lived. Again, it says he was perfect in his generations. He walked a godly life. He walked the walk. It was real to him. Noah also knew this important truth about his society. He knew that the judgment of God would one day fall upon that wicked society. He knew it. Says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. You know the story. God told Noah that he was going to send a flood. That it was going to rain. Nobody had ever seen rain like that before, so it was unheard of. But Noah knew it to be true. He knew in his heart that the only recourse of a holy God against a sinful society is judgment. Noah knew that truth, and it is a truth. And so he would spend the next 120 years of his life on a pretty interesting backyard project. He would build an ark. He would build a boat. And the Old Testament teaches us that Noah was also a preacher. And I suppose he had many of opportunities to preach to people. Can you imagine all the people that came by his house? Hey, what's that crazy old man doing out there in his backyard? And all the questions that he might have been asked. And Scripture says Noah was a faithful preacher. He told the people exactly how it is. No matter how they criticized him or made fun of him, he no doubt told them that the judgment of God was coming. You better be ready. Noah was a man who knew the truth about God and stood up for God. Men, fathers, husbands, aspiring husbands and fathers, male role models, we need to be men who know the truth about God and stand up for Him. Amen? We need to be men who have a personal relationship with God. We need to be men who are personally acquainted with the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, you're a dad, and you look at your family and you think, things are kind of falling apart, what's wrong? You know what? The first thing that you need to do, if you haven't done so, is you need to have a personal relationship with God. You need to become God's man to your family. Men, we need to be born again. We need to have fellowship with the Lord. We need to belong to Him. The most important thing that your family needs, Dad, is a Christian father. Someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you can come into a wonderful relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And we must admit that we are sinners to the Lord, Dad. And we must invite Jesus to come into our life, for the Bible says God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to pay for our penalty. And He rose again the third day. And if you'll invite Jesus to be your Savior, all your sins will be forgiven. And you will become a member of the family of God, and your family will get a man of God. We must have personal knowledge of the Lord. Christian dad, your personal knowledge of the Lord must be obvious. Maybe you're a Christian dad and your household isn't doing all that well. Well, let me ask you, does your family really know that you're a Christian? Do you actually act like a Christian? Your family knows what's important to you. Is Jesus really important to you? Does it show? Is it real to you? want to share with you when I was a boy, 7, 8, 9, I can remember this so vividly, and even into my teenage years. I would get up early in the morning, and I remember walking downstairs every single morning, and there'd be one light on in the downstairs den. My dad would be up. He'd be sitting on his chair. He'd have an Afghan over him if it was winter. He'd have a cup of Joe coffee sitting there next to him. And every morning he had his old New American Standard Bible spread out on his lap. That spoke more to me than any teaching he ever gave me, and he used to teach me a lot. Because that told me that it was real for Dad. He believed it. He took time to spend time with the Lord. Do you have that? Men, fathers, husbands, we need to be men who fear the Lord. Amen? We need to be men who worship the Lord. In fact, I think the dads should be the leaders of worship in their home. We're the priests of the home. The fathers should lead their families in the worship of the Lord. It should be the dads that are getting all the kids out of bed ready for church. Some of the wives are going, yeah, go get them. So often when it comes to church, it's the mom who gets the kids up. And they drag little Johnny and little Susie. And they also drag Dad to church. You need to be the worship leader of your home. You need to lead in the fear of the Lord. It's been said when you were born, your mother brought you to church. When you were married, your wife brought you to church. When you die, your friends will bring you to church. Why not trying to come to church on your own sometime? Leading your family in worship. One congregation found that where both parents are faithful to the Lord, 93% of the kids remain faithful. If one parent was faithful, the figure dropped to 73%. When both parents were only moderately faithful, then only 53% of the young people remained faithful. When both parents were only occasional attendees of church, the figure dropped to 6%. Dads, lead your family in the fear of the Lord. And that also means living your life wanting to please the Lord, knowing that you will be accountable to the Lord one day. Do your kids and does your wife see you really wanting to please the Lord? That you will be a man of God in your business. That you will walk with integrity. That you are kind and gentle to other people. Dad, you're a pattern. You're not perfect, but you're a pattern that your children should follow. A man was crossing a field to a bar one day when he looked behind him and saw his son. "Look, Dad," the boy exclaimed, "I'm following in your footsteps." The dad immediately turned around and went back home. Good. You're the pattern. Men, dads, husbands, we need to know the truth about God that in fact, yes, the judgment of God will fall upon this society one day. We live in a wicked society, and the Bible teaches that the judgment of God is coming. One day, God's judgment will come. When Jesus Christ comes again, the world, the nations will be judged. People will have to give an account for their sins. Are you preparing your family for that day? Are you leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be forgiven of their sins and escape the judgment of God? Dads, we need to tell our kids that when we sin and when we rebel, There's a consequence. There's a price to pay. Many times in this life, but for sure in the next life. We teach these things. Noah preached these things. Dads, I give you the permission to preach to your kids. I don't suggest, using a pulpit or anything like that. Just preach to them. Teach them. Warn them. Exhort them. They desperately need it. The other thing that Noah did that made him such a great father, and I love this and I want to close with this, but listen to this very important principle. Noah, the dad, the husband, prepared a safe place for his family. He prepared a safe place for his family. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He prepared a safe place. Now, Noah, you know the story. God, I think, asked him to do one of the most amazing things that God ever asked anybody to do in the scripture. To build that ark. To build that boat. The outer ark was 450 feet long. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. The boat had a displacement of 43,300 tons. The inner ark, many rooms, compartments. Noah constructed a lower, second, and third deck. He had to make it out of all these special materials, and then he covered it with pitch, and he worked on that boat for 120 years. Noah labored and toiled on that boat. And I'm sure he got frustrated sometimes. I'm sure he got tired. But when the ark was completed, my friends, there was a safe place for his family. There was a shelter. He spent the majority of his life building a safe place for his kids. A safe place for his wife. Men, dads, husbands, we need to be fathers who are building a safe place for our children and a safe place for our wives, a safe place for our family. I'm not talking about an ark. You don't need to go out and begin building a boat. I'm talking figuratively. Men, let us build the safest homes for our family. And yes, that means that you're the provider for your family and you're to go out and work and earn a living and make sure that their needs are taken care of. Yes, that's being safe. And yes, you're to teach your kids in life skills and prepare them for their future. Yes, that's building a safe place. And don't forget this one, Dad. The best way that you can be is such an encouragement and blessing to your children is to be a good husband and to love your wife. And be committed to her and be committed to stay with her. You'll never leave her. That's how you build a safe place. That's how you build a safe home. But the most important way to do so is to lead your family in a committed life, committed walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be the spiritual leader of your home. Be the priest of your home. If you want your children to be safe, the first thing that you should do and be praying about is that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves as soon as possible. And then to lead them in the ways of the Lord and to be consistent in your teaching and in your lifestyle before them. It's what the families need. I read this article, and I end with this. It was so beautiful. It's called An Open Letter to Family Men. She was blonde and beautiful with azure eyes and a tumble of tawny curls. At 3 years of age, she would climb into her daddy's lap, snuggle up with a wide, satisfied smile, and purr, "This is my safe place." And so it was. Dads, husbands, you are the safe place. You are the protector and provider. And when you gather us for a time with God, we need a safe place. A safe place, not a lecture. A safe place, not a sermon. A very human dad or husband who simply cares about God and us. We don't need or even want a spiritual giant. We just want you. And we need a gathering time, phone unplugged, where it's safe to say to each other, "How are you and the Lord getting along? How can we pray today?" We need a safe place to cry, laugh, sing, rejoice, challenge, share, and sometimes not to share and have it be okay. We need a time with you that's relaxed, unstiff, when we can pray honestly in simple sentences from our hearts. Unfixed, unrigid, unroutine, unshackled. We need a place where irregular opinions are respected and where God has the last word. We need a gentleman leader, not a general. Gracious, relaxed, human, a family shepherd who exhibits not infallible authority, but a thirst for God. Every day? Not necessarily. Often? Yes. Long? No. Where? Anywhere. How? Sense where we're at and zero in. We may need heavy-duty confessing to each other and to God, silent prayer, exuberant praise, Bible study. Thanks for listening, Dad, husband. Remember, we need you, your family. My desire this morning, dads, is to let you know and remind you of the situation that we are in society. And to make us all aware once again that we as dads have a very, very important place. And maybe you're here this morning and you needed to be reminded of that, Dad. And maybe this morning you need to recommit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and come to the Lord and say, "I'm going to follow you as best as I can." Maybe you're here this morning and you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ for the first time. You need to become a born-again Christian. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've blown it as a dad and you feel guilty for it. You can always start afresh. You can become a good granddad. You can make up for lost time. You see what the Lord might do, but you give your heart to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a hard time with Father's Day because you had a lousy father and you have a hard time relating with God as your Heavenly Father. Don't mix up what your earthly father was like with God, your Heavenly Father. Oh, don't do that. God's a good Father. Amen. And it says in Psalm 68, "Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. By His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. He's a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The Lord can become your Father today. If you give your heart to Him. Can we all bow our heads and close our eyes? Everyone. I'd like to have the worship group come up. Lord, I want to thank you for the reminder this morning of how serious a situation that we all live in right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would protect our young people, our children. I pray that you would capture their hearts at a young age. I pray for the dads in this fellowship who need to take their role as a dad more seriously. I pray that out of this fellowship there would be many, many volunteers who would come forward wanting to work with our children. Lord, in Jesus' name, this is one war we're going to win. We will stand together and we will unite to protect our children. If there's anyone here this morning, and maybe you're a dad, and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never gotten serious with Him, I want to give you an opportunity right now, to give your heart to Christ. You do it publicly. You'll never forget this Father's Day. If that's you, you raise your hand up high right now so I can see it. Wherever you might be sitting, my family needs a Christian dad and I'm going to become one. If that's you, you raise up your hand. Then I want to pray also for any dad here this morning who has blown it and is blowing it right now. And maybe you know the Lord, but you haven't been serious about it. If you'd like me to say a prayer for you, would you raise up your hand right now? Just raise up your hand. Nobody else will see. God bless you right there in the back. By raising your hand, you're acknowledging I'm serious. I want to get back in my relationship with you. Raise your hand. It'll be a good thing for you to do. It'll cement your decision. God bless you in the back. Anybody else? God bless you. Father, for these men who have raised their hands, it is their desire to become better dads. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would now anoint these men. That you would refresh these men. I ask, Lord, that their relationship with you would come alive, would blossom. That they would get rid of all the weights that are holding them back. And that they would have hearts that are undivided in their following after you. Change them right now from this day forward. And may their families experience the wonderful blessing of having a godly man that they can call dad, husband. I'd like all the dads now to stand. Every one of you. Let's thank them. You got a heavy duty responsibility, don't you? And I want to pray for every single one of you now. Father, I pray that you would make these men courageous, first of all. That they would be courageous followers of you. Lord, we live in a society where many other dads don't care. They don't give a rip. But I pray that these dads would. And I pray that they would stand for you. And stand for your truth. And courageously and lovingly lead their families in your ways. I ask that you would bless them on this day, that you would highly encourage them on this day. Lord, that you would greatly challenge them on this day to remember their great responsibility. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint each one and that you would bless each one. And Father, for all the families represented here, we pray that they would be healthy families, growing in their knowledge of you. Protect our children, protect our wives, protect these dads. In Jesus' name, amen.